from the land of the free and the home of the Chiefs, with two-man coverage of the red and gold, this is the Locked On Chiefs Podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Welcome back to another episode of Locked On Chiefs. This is a special Sunday episode, actually Saturday night, for the Chiefs playoff loss. And what a brutal, brutal game that was. Welcome, Cody Tapp, to the show. Thank you for coming, Cody.
No problem. Arrowhead is a sad, empty place as we speak. So happy to join, but sorry it's under such unfortunate circumstances.
Yeah, I can only imagine what the team was like and what the fans leaving that stadium were like.
Yeah, it was tough. I mean, I went down to the locker room after, obviously, and talked to Reggie Ragland and Kareem Hunt and heard Alex Smith talk. And I mean, when you go back through and listen to everybody, I mean, there was a lot of devastation, especially guys who have been around long enough to have also suffered that Colts loss. But I mean, this team's history speaks for itself. I think the stat was out by Conrad McGorkin earlier. Since 1986, this team is 304 and 236 in the regular season and 4-15 in the postseason, and their home losing streak continues. So it was brutal. I mean, just fans and the players and just the feeling in the – even just the media area, everyone's like, oh, my. Like, oh, this isn't happening again. You don't feel – you don't want that to happen to Chiefs fans, but certainly tonight was just kind of a brutal feeling of that.
Absolutely. And what did you think? What were a couple of things that stood out to you? Because to me, looking at this game, Alex Smith came out and was flinging the ball all over the field in the first quarter. Looked like he could possibly throw for, and I'm being sarcastic, but 600 yards. I mean, he was just on fire in the first quarter and still played pretty well in the second quarter. And then Travis Kelce goes out and everything seems to go to heck.
Well, and yeah, I mean, that's the initial thought, right? There's plenty of blame to go around. This game is not solely on Alex Smith, but it certainly isn't not on him. I mean, he was on pace for 460 yards through one half of football. He finished with 33 passing yards in the second half. So, yeah, a lack of Kelce immediately changed this offense and their inability to get any kind of run game going. Partially, it was, you know, that in Kareem Hunt's four second half runs, three of them weren't particularly good, but they opened up with a 9-yard run in the second half. They've got the ball. It's 3rd and 1. He's the NFL's leading rusher. And then they do a speed option play to the outside that fails. They punt. Like, it was just some combination. The offense legitimately, I think Jeff Schwartz described it this way a little bit. I'm sorry, Mitchell Schwartz, not his brother. When describing it, it was like watching the first 5 games and the last 4 games offense for the first half. And then for the second half, it was legitimately like watching that offense during that long losing streak. They were lost. They couldn't run the ball. They couldn't pass the ball. DeMarcus Robinson was their leading receiver in the second half. And beyond that, they couldn't get anything going. I mean, it was a comedy of errors.
Well, and you say something about DeMarcus Robinson, and I was very impressed with what he did at the end of the first half. That ball going out of bounds before he caught the touchdown, I thought that was going to get overruled and they were going to take that catch away from him. But I was very impressed with what he was able to do. And I was very happy to see him get that touchdown because I think he's very much an unsung player on this team. He doesn't get many balls thrown in his direction, but he's always out there blocking for guys and helping open up other things.
Yeah, he does a really good job. Like, his blocking, his downfield blocking has been a bit underrated. And so, if anything, I mean, it's hard to look at this game and try to pick out a single bright spot. Robinson's probably it, right? Because they're going to have a decision to make next year at the second wide receiver spot. They can go back to the draft. They can look at free agent wide receivers if they free up money, depending on if this is Alex Smith's last game in a Kansas City uniform. And Albert Wilson's a free agent, right? So at least his spot is currently open unless they re-sign him. And with limited cap space, maybe they just go with a guy who's pretty cheap. Plus, we don't know what Chris Conley will do coming off of his injury, and he'll be in the final year of his deal. So seeing something out of DeMarcus Robinson tonight was good. And seeing something that wasn't in a preseason game or late in some game, it was nice to see him actually perform. But that's one of the few, if any, bright spots. Other than if you watch the first half of the game, you're like, okay, controlled him on defense, held the Titans to 44 total yards. Everything's kind of going great. Everything feels good. And then all of a sudden you get into the second half. And for a stretch, it didn't feel like even then they were still kind of in control. The Titans were still giving the ball up and booting it around and getting called for penalties. But no, just slow, methodical torture is what it ended up being in the second half that eventually cost them.
Well, and you look at a couple of different plays that officiating really cost them too.
Oh, yeah.
You know, the two plays where they're calling forward progress is stopped. I don't know that I've ever seen that play called twice in a game, especially on things that are that big. I mean, Mariota gets spun around. He's not anywhere close to going down. You're going to tell me that if he throws that ball and he somehow gets a 2-point conversion, you're not going to give it to him? He was not down at that point.
At least that one's borderline, right? Where you can be like, even Derek Johnson's like, yeah, I can kind of see that one. But on the Derek Johnson sack, he was getting sacked. What do you mean? There wasn't like he held him up and then was slowly pushing him back. He was mid-hit on Mariota. Did you see the explanation? Jeff Triplett, there was like, we get like a little quote sheet or whatever from people that I might miss. And it was just like, yeah, hey, can you walk us through that forward progress play? Oh, the ruling was forward progress. Therefore, it's not reviewable. Okay, so the defender hit him and he was driving him back? No. Like, yes. Does the quarterback have to go forward for that to do that? No. Like, really, Triplett? Are you sure? Like, that one's inexcusable. The 2-point play, too, by the way. There were, you know, I think this is the part, honestly, this is the part that absolutely just crushed the spirit. It's not just that you lost, because that's pretty hard, Chris, but go back and look at two plays where you felt like it had all changed on a dime. Like, in the stadium, it was electric when that 2-pointer got returned. It was, you know, the Chiefs had just given up the lead, and now all of a sudden they were going to have the lead. And then you go back to the Marcus Peters, which, by the way, wasn't a fumble. I'm not saying that it was. But he returns it for a touchdown, and for a second, all of the hope in the world, and then yet again, crushed. I don't think that referees played some factor in this, but if you're up 18 points at home at half, you almost have nothing to lean on.
Oh, no. I'm not saying that the refs were the reason they lost this game. That's not what I'm saying at all. But what I am saying is that there were some bad officiating calls that really cost Kansas City in multiple situations in this game. And, yeah, I completely agree. That fumble late in the game with Derek Johnson running the ball back, that's not a fumble. He was easily down. I'm not arguing that at all. But it was nice to see Marcus Peters actually crash down the ball, hit the ball carrier, and then end up laying out, I don't know if it was Conklin or if it was LaJuan, as DJ's trying to run the ball back. That was impressive.
I mean, there really was some life late for the team, but only in those moments that ended up immediately getting called back. But that was it. Like, other than that, defensively, it was just they were slowly getting picked apart. I'm telling you, it looked just like the middle of the season, like the Jets game, right, where they just couldn't get off the field on third down. And you're like, get off the field on third down just once.
Well, but how strangely reminiscent is this game of the Colts game? And I hate saying that because obviously Marcus Mariota is not Andrew Luck, but they lost Chris Jones in this game. That's a defensive injury that I would actually say is akin to losing Brandon Flowers, because Tennessee is leaning on their running game at that point. They're not leaning on their passing game. And you lose Travis Kelce, who was akin to losing Jamaal Charles. You have an 18-point lead and you blow it. This was a very big collapse. And honestly, it wasn't on Alex Smith. I will say that. It wasn't all on Alex Smith. But it was a lot on the offense, a lot on the play calling. Not using Kareem Hunt as a running back. Yeah, that third and one play that you were talking about, I was just wanting to scream at the TV watching them run a sweep on something like that, or an option play on something like that.
It goes back to some of their actual – yeah, go ahead.
I was just going to say, especially when they were able to punch it in from the one-yard line early in the game for a touchdown. I mean, of all the places that Kansas City struggled the most, it's been on the goal line. So you would think, okay, well, they're sitting here in a great set. Yes, run the ball up the gut and get it.
It goes back to their very base fear, which is they were so bad in short yardage plays last year. They were bad in the middle of the season on short yardage plays again this year, and they're afraid to just run it up the middle. They have the NFL's leading rusher. Like, that play, the whole game might have been there, right? They get the first down, they're at midfield, and there were a couple of plays like that. In the second half, even when Alex Smith was trying to get the team down the field for what could have been a game-winning field goal, Demetrius Harris gets called for a phantom holding call on the outside on a run. That's a bad call. That's where the officiating, again, hurts this team. But when, just run it. He did.
And he had a good game. Harris, for everybody, for all the heck fans have given him, and rightfully so at certain times, he had a good game. And that, and for him to be called on a play like that where he wasn't even close to holding him, he couldn't have kept the guy. The guy wasn't anywhere close to Alex Smith at the time either.
It doesn't make any – no, it's – but, like, it all comes down to the same thing. Like, when it's third and one, run it. Like, just run the ball just up the middle one time. And that's something, you know, this team's going to have to take a very serious hard look in the mirror. And I think actual changes are coming. One of the things they're going to have to at least address is the type of finesse team they become and how that works for them and has served them very well in the regular season. But when it comes to playoff time and they start getting pushed around again, it's a very similar story. One of the things they're going to need to address is how they can get more physical as a team, because that continues to be the teams that beat them when it matters.
Well, and that is really a thing at the point of attack, and that kind of goes back to what I was saying earlier. You have injuries that just decimated this team. You can't lose Chris Jones when you're already down R&R. Because then you become a rotation of Benny Logan and what was it, Justin Hamilton and Jarvis Jenkins, and that's not going to get it done. And that was pretty much the way it went most of the second half. That's just something that you're not going to be able to do and rely on a regular basis.
Well, and it's the second most they've been gashed for the run by one player. Is Le'Veon Bell got him for more, but as a team, this is the most yards they've given up against the run all year. And think about how much better they'd gotten against the run. But when you lose Chris Jones, who, by the way, was actually a force early in the running game, hurts. And the fact that Raheem Nunez-Roches got hurt earlier in the, you know, couldn't play in this game, who knows if things are different, if they can just get one or two more stops. But it's just the story of the Chiefs. Like, it's one thing, and you mentioned that Colts game and the injuries that cost them. They'll go back and look at this game, and I'm assuming this one will be called the forward progress game. The 28-0, the no punt game. I'm guessing this is the forward progress game, but... You go back, you'll remember that these injuries cost him.
Well, no, absolutely. You know, I really hate getting away from what this game was, but I have to ask the question since we have you on. Let's go through a couple of players real quick, and you tell me if you think they're back next year. Alex Smith.
No, not with the Chiefs. I mean, he's in the NFL, but not with the Chiefs, yeah.
Right. Albert Wilson.
No, only because I think he's proven himself somewhat valuable, and he'll end up, he won't be like an expensive player, but he'll be just expensive enough to end up somewhere else is my guess.
Well, I kind of like that because to me, I think they have a pretty good young core with DeMarcus Robinson, Chris Conley, who is going to be coming back trying to get a contract, and Tyreek Hill. So,
And Chris Conley caught for 500 yards last year. That's about what Albert Wilson was in his absence this year. So I think it's pretty safe to say that, and Conley's been good on third. Chris Conley can be a replacement level player to Albert Wilson, I think.
Well, I think Conley will be even better when he's got a QB who's not as apt to throw away from guys that are in tight coverage. I think Mahomes and Chris
entirely possible.
I think Chris Conley and Mahomes will have a very good connection, as will DeMarcus Robinson and Mahomes. Derek Johnson, who did say he's going to play next season.
He did. I mean, he said it was like I asked him today in the locker room. I just said, "Hey, so does this have you think about your future differently?" And he's like, "Oh, I'm playing." Like, it didn't sound any different than I'm playing football next year. And then said it's too early to talk about where, but I'm a Chief. So my guess is yes, because I think he'll take some sweetheart of a deal to play 40% of the snaps, and they'll go one more time if he wants to play. Now, I think if I were the Chiefs, I might consider moving on just because you've got good young linebackers. But his leadership is valued, and I'll guess yes for now, but I'm not super sure about him.
Well, and I am with you on that. I honestly think that they'll keep him if they can with a small deal, maybe, you know, $2 or $3 million a year, just for the leadership that he can bring those young guys, because I think they're going to bring back, you know, KPL is a free agent in the offseason. I don't think there's any chance he goes anywhere else. Kansas City's going to want to bring him back, and, you know, Reggie Ragland's going to have to grow up as well. So I think that they're going to try to bring DJ back. Tom Bahali.
No, he's gone.
Yeah.
He just cost. It's too easy to cut him. And I think even he's admitted he's on the end of his rope. Unlike Derek Johnson, who thinks he's got another year, I think Tom Bahali knows he's done.
Dustin Colquitt.
No. Mostly, like, if they're in salary cap trouble, Dustin Colquitt, according to the metrics, has been a league average punter the entire year, and he's the highest paid punter in the league. I don't think you can move forward at that cost to benefit ratio for him, so I think he's gone.
Assuming he won't take a pay cut like DJ would.
Well, he's technically a free agent. Well, it's not even right. like Yeah, the pay cut being, yeah, you're right. If for some reason they offer him $1.5 million to go punt for him, then yeah, he might be back with the Chiefs. But my guess is that he's gone, and they'll go young. It depends, you know. Part of it depends on, you know, where, if Dave Tobe ends up somewhere else, like how,
right.
Cause Dave Tobe does have some input on the guys who stick around. Like I honestly think that Anthony Sherman's been a part of this team for so long as a result of Dave Tobe saying such nice things about him on the special team. So I'm guessing Colquitt's gone just cause of the cost.
Well, and you bring up the next one. I was going to bring up Anthony Sherman.
No, again, he plays 17% of the offensive snaps this year. How can you pay him? Fullback is an obsolete position in the NFL for the most part, even in the Chiefs' own offense. Like people talk about the salary cap trouble they're in, but part of it is things that they can clearly cut, and they can get cheaper at punter and not get much worse, and they can get cheaper at fullback and not get much worse. He's a good player. He really is. But just considering the number of snaps he's on the field, it's hard to justify his pay.
Well, and I almost wonder if they won't shift, think about
he
shifting.
He might take a pay cut too.
Well, he might, I wonder if they might think about shifting Ware into fullback slash H-back role. I mean, he came into Kansas City as a fullback and ended up becoming the running back. But with Hunt, I can't imagine that Ware's going to come back as a starter next year. So, you know, he's got that ability to play the fullback role. I would think that, you know, if you're going to keep four, maybe maybe you keep him and you keep the two Hunts and you keep West next year.
No, at first I was thinking maybe West was going to be gone, but that's a fair point that, you know, Ware, at least if it's 17% of the snaps he's got to play fullback, I imagine Spencer Ware can handle that if you think he can stay healthy. But I just think Sherman's gone. I don't know what they're going to do with those other two guys, but my guess is they'd be more inclined to keep Ware over West just because Ware's had more production. You know, he was going to be the starter this year, so you would think they'd think of him as the higher rated back than West.
Well, and I think he's a much better change of pace for Kareem Hunt as opposed to, you know, Charcandre Quest. What were your thoughts on West doing the kick returns? I personally was thinking during the game, you know, you saw West back there and you're like, well, why isn't Hill back there? And then I thought about it, I was like, oh, yeah, Kelce going out. You really can't afford to have Hill go back there and take the chance.
I agree. Like, they had him out there for the first one. Thought that was the right decision. He didn't get anywhere. But I get why they did it. They got backed up on that first drive. But late in the game, when they're down one and they're kicking it to them, when they're down one, like legitimately, when they're down one in that situation and they don't have him back there, that's when I don't get it. Like, for the sake that you can't have a guy get knocked out of that game, because at that point too, DeMarcus Robinson, remember, had like limped off the field at one point.
Yeah.
And so
came in instead of Chesson, which I thought was interesting.
Yes, but they were limited. They were incredibly limited at that position. But like, when you're down one in a playoff game that you've just left sift away, I'd like to see him back there one more time. The entire game, fine. If you're going to make some argument that is you lost Kelce in the second half, it's really cool to put him back there. And at some point, they weren't putting him back there because they had a lead, right? You don't have to risk it, and you have the lead. When it's 21-10, he's not back there, okay. When it's 21-16 and Kelsey's hurt, maybe. When it's 22-21, that was the one other time, I think, for sure, you had to make the argument that, you know, there was a good reason to put Hill back there.
No, and I agree with that. I understood why they didn't do it all three times. You can't. One, he's such a big part of the offense. And two, you really don't have anybody else that you want back there, you know, catching punts.
No.
I mean, that's a huge deal. And you watched Adoree Jackson fumble the punt, and it should have cost Tennessee a lot more than it did. I really don't think he would have wanted to go with another punt returner.
No, absolutely not. Dave Tobe was asked if experience matters back there, and the answer was yes. And the kick game, too. West and Robinson hadn't returned many kicks in the year. I'm sure there's plenty of people that are capable of it, but, man, it's just odd. Just odd that they would put themselves in that spot.
And then not having C.J. Spiller up when they signed him, I mean, you would have thought that maybe they could bring him up. And granted, he's not going to be a great returner, but he would at least give you something there.
Yeah, and I guess, I thought maybe that was at first why they signed him. But somewhere along the way, they were talking about the fact that he was essentially just a safety net in case, like, something happened during the week. He was never really probably going to be active, but he was just like a security measure through the playoffs in case something happened. They didn't have to break in case of emergency, but still, yeah, just nothing going quite right. And Spiller is at least an experienced returner, but they felt like they had that in Charcandre West. It just nothing went right. I mean, honestly, just nothing quite went right tonight. In the second half,
And unfortunately, that is the what we've had to deal with the Chiefs for the past several seasons. We've talked about the players. Let's look at the coaches. Do you think that Dave Toba's back next year, or do you think he's elsewhere as a head coach?
I think he'll be back because I think he had a down year in the special teams, and he seems to he's got a little bit of the always the bridesmaid, never the bride syndrome right now. And I think they still, like, overall, I think you could look at the entirety of Dave Tobe's work and say he's done a really nice job as the special teams coordinator. So my guess is he will be back, yes.
Well, and I'm thankful they have him because I think Butker is going to be a very good kicker for years to come. What about Matt Nagy?
No. I think he's going to get a job. I think he's going to get one of these head coaching gigs. Mostly because there are a million of them available, right? I mean, he's interviewing for two jobs tomorrow, and there are so many jobs open. I just feel like he's going to get it just because of the sheer number of availabilities.
Fair enough. What about Bob Sutton?
I think he should be gone. Andy hasn't.
Well, and I've said that for years that he should be gone. The question is, do you think that they'll finally get rid of him?
Man, Andy Reid is loyal to his guys. So, yeah, yep. I think he'll be gone. Because I think someone in ownership is going to have to say something, too, just about changes. And they're not going to, like, demand that he change things, right? But someone's got to be in that room and be like, okay, we need something to be different. Like, we gotta put a burn under these things. And some things will be different, right, immediately, because Patrick Mahomes will be the quarterback more likely than not. Not 100%, but more likely than not, that will be the case. And so if that is, that's a major change. But I think they got to do something defensively. Again, they continue to blow playoff leads. That's bad. So they're going to have to do something different.
Well, and you can't take your best defensive player and drop him into coverage as much as you drop Houston into coverage.
And it happened again in this game, too. So they need somebody. Honestly, if you just had like a dream chart, which is never going to happen because he's already with a team, you need someone like Wade Phillips or someone in that vein that will get the most out of the pass rusher. Look what he got out of Von Miller or Aaron Donald or some of the other guys. You need somebody who's willing to use Justin Houston at that rate. If he's going to be paid $20 million a year, you got to get more out of him in a given season. And he had a good year. I'm not saying Justin Houston was Pro Football Focus's second highest rated player for the Chiefs, but sacks still matter, and he had zero of them in this game, right? All right. So, I mean, he affected the quarterback on, like, the first third down throw, and then I don't remember really saying his name much. So, in big-time plays, when he's finally healthy for the playoffs, he's got to get something done.
Well, and the first play of the game, he affected the quarterback's throw. So he had a lot of juice coming off the edge. And I forgot one player earlier, D. Ford.
Oh, God. Well, it's funny because we're talking about pass rush, right? And they're going to own
– right.
No. Because – you know why? Because – for the same argument that you got D. Ford and you gave him a chance to be the starter and it's failed because of injury and money, your next answer is Tano Passanio. You better hope you got that decision right because you drafted him with a second overall pick. He's had a full year to develop, unlike D. Ford was thrown to the mix right away. But he was also a more developed player, according to scouts, right? So I think the answer is Tano Passanio, and you move on from D. Ford. Unless Justin Houston's gone for some crazy reason. I would say that D. Ford is probably gone just because $8.5 million is a lot to pay for a guy who can't stay healthy.
Right. And really hasn't been productive from the side of the ball you want him rushing from. And obviously, I don't think that this is ever a possibility, but Andy Reid.
I think he's there. There are people that really.
Do you think there's any chance?
No. He just signed an extension.
Okay.
He.
No, and that's where I am, too.
Clark Hunt. You know, like, the Hunts in general have been pretty loyal to head coaches. I don't think there's any way he's going anywhere. The playoff disappointments have to just be building and building. But, no, I think Andy's here to stay.
Cody, thank you very much for joining me. I appreciate it. I am sure that was not a fun game for you to sit through and fun to talk to the players afterwards. I'm sure there was a lot of frustration in that locker room.
Always, and just kind of a history of Chiefs frustration, certainly. So we'll see what Andy Reid, I know he's talking tomorrow at noon. We'll see how that and the end-of-year press conference go for Reid tomorrow.
Thanks for listening to the Locked On Chiefs podcast. While you're out there, give us a rating or review. and reach out to us on Twitter @RyanTreseyNFL and @ChrisClarkNFL. We'll talk to you next time.